Hey, I want to just quick snapshot as we're moving along through the service. If we think to last Sunday, we had Palm Sunday. We remember the message of Jesus is entering Jerusalem. If you were at the E-Free Church on Friday, we had the Good Friday service. So remember Jesus. It was good for him to go to the cross, even though that doesn't sound very good, but it was good that he took our sins there. And then this morning we're talking about him being risen, because he just didn't die on Friday and stay dead. He rose again. So that's why we're here this morning. So I want to encourage you. My wife read from Luke chapter 24 this morning so beautifully. I felt like it was like a sermon as you were just reading. It was just so great. I'm really waiting for the day when God says, just read the word and let the word do all the work. And so we'll just pray for that one day. But until then, I am going to give a little bit of explanation. So Luke chapter 24, the part that my wife didn't read, the first couple verses. So we'll start in verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with her faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Verse 6, he's not here because he's risen, with an exclamation point. Remember how we told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day. He would be raised. He would rise again. Then they remembered his words. It's like all of a sudden there was this connection. I don't know about you in life and your connection. At some point, it just became alive. It wasn't just a book. It wasn't just a building. It wasn't just somebody else's story. It was my story. It was alive for me, and that's why I come back again and again. When they came back from the tomb and they told all these things to the 11 and all the others, it was Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, and told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. You see, the ladies weren't wondering anymore. The ladies went to the tomb, and then these angels spoke to them. They got their answer. Peter was hearing from somebody else, third-hand information. He was still wondering because he hadn't quite connected with Jesus. And I want to spend some time on that thought about an actual experience with Jesus. And I want to look at three different stories here in the Word of God about those people that interacted and had experiences with Jesus, and they could never turn away. They were never the same. I don't know your story that's brought you back again and again. God's been so faithful. There was that moment, that experience that I had that I cannot shake. And I pray that each one of us get that. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you haven't had that experience yet. We're not looking for some kind of spiritual high or something. We're just looking about a relational experience with a living God. And when you sense that, it's like, oh, I know that I know. Most of you know my story, New Year's 2000, right? Completely out in left field, a sinner of sinners. So you can just list it all those charges. And all of a sudden I met with Jesus on New Year's. And boom, I was never the same. My vocabulary changed. My thought processes changed. The addictions that I had were gone in Jesus' name. That's the kind of experience that I pray that each one of us would encounter at some point in life. So while they were wondering again, these women had this experience. I want you to think about your salvation experience as, I don't have a ticket. Let's pretend this is my ticket. Oh, there's a nice one. There's a good ticket. Get out of there. There we go, right there. So you've gone to the movies yesterday, some of you. Now, our family has a lot, and all my kids invited a buddy, so we needed a lot of tickets. So we went early. Omni went downtown, did some errands, pre-bought the tickets, so make sure we got in, because there was a lineup, right? Movie theater, first weekend, big deal. And so we had the 9 tickets. We were good. Almost like a salvation experience, right? I've said the prayer, I'm going to heaven. I've got my ticket to heaven. But then you still actually have to go experience the movie. Why just have a ticket like, woohoo? Did you see the movie? No, but I had the ticket. Did you go? No, I didn't want to leave the house, you know, like I didn't want to go. It was going to inconvenience me. What? You don't do that, right? You've got your salvation experience or ticket, but then you experience Jesus until you meet him. You don't just stay home. You don't just close up the Word of God. Well, I got my ticket now. I don't need that anymore. No, no, you got to experience it. It's almost like a fresh pair of socks. Last week, I had these in my drawer for years. I was waiting for my socks to die. Have you ever you can't throw those away yet because there's no holes in the bottom, right? And once they get holes, you go, oh, finally. Have you recently put on a new pair of socks? You feel like a new man. You're a little bit of a skip in your step. Woohoo! It's the same thing with my socks. They were there for years, waiting for this moment to be redeemed, to be revealed. And then I put them, I experienced the sock. And you're probably wondering, Pastor, you talked about connecting Jesus to a movie ticket, which I don't even know that's very biblical. And then a sock, what's going to be the third illustration? You guys are really worried now. Don't worry, it's going to get better, I promise. But like, I'm serious, you have to put it on. You've got to put Jesus on. You've got to keep finding him. You've got to keep interacting with him. He's not a dead guy that you just read about. Just a book. He's alive and he wants to talk to you. And when you open this book, it's actually alive. Like Jesus is alive, this Word of God is alive to us as well. So I hope as my wife read, as we sang, as we're reading this together, it becomes alive. It becomes an experience for you. Let's look at these three characters that I love characters in the Bible because they're so real. They're just like you and I, just like we got questions, we're wondering things. And so three characters that come out of here. Obviously, the first one was Peter, right? Peter, he said that he heard from the ladies about the tomb and he said, he was wondering. He ran to the tomb. He had no answer. It says, Peter was like, where is Jesus? And so we see here in John chapter 21. So we're reading from Luke. Let's get it from John's perspective in John chapter 21, jumping in verse 1. And so again, Jesus has been risen. He's left the tomb. He's been interacting with his disciples and different people. And finally, Peter gets to rub shoulders with him. So here we go in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples were with him. They were going to go out fishing, Simon Peter told them, and he said to them, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. This is a whole other sermon, but we'll just stay on the point that I want to talk about here. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. They were still wondering. He called out to them, friends. That's got to be a pretty good indicator. Jesus calling out to them as friends. Haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, I like it as John is. He's the writer. He can say that about himself because, you know, I guess it's true. But, you know, John said this about Jesus, that he loved him, said to Peter, is it the Lord? As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him because he had taken off, and he jumped into the water. Oh, there's so much imagery there. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were far from the shore, not far from the shore, but 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning and coals with the fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of those fish over that you've caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was Jesus. There was this experience, there was this moment, they just knew. Jesus said, came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Peter, at this moment, if we remember some of the other stories about Peter, you know, a bit of a loudmouth, he three times refused to know Jesus, he didn't want to go to the cross, and then all of a sudden there's this moment. And we know that from this moment onward, Peter never looked back. Peter was so bold, he never questioned Jesus, he never was going to deny Jesus again. He had an experience that was real. He met with a risen Jesus, and he was never the same. I pray that we would have experiences like that as well, that we would connect with Jesus in a way that we can't shake. Thomas, we see listed here, Simon Peter, Thomas, and Nathanael. Nathanael's a good name, good guy. So we see Thomas there. Let's go after that guy. So Thomas is here somewhere this morning too. We're online. We got to be careful. We pick up a story here about Thomas. So John chapter 20. So Thomas has an experience with Jesus that can't be shaken either. So John chapter 20, jumping in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." See, at this point, the disciples are hiding in a house. And as Omley read, and we read early in Luke, Jesus comes into the house, and the disciples see Jesus face to face. Now, Thomas wasn't on site at that moment. I know in Luke it said that he saw all the disciples were there, but actually Thomas was not there. He was running an errand or something. And so he comes back. Now he's hearing again. He's hearing third-hand information about Jesus. Like, he's alive! And then he's like, well, I haven't seen him yet. Why hasn't he talked to me? Like, I'm Thomas. I'm pretty cool. Like, why wouldn't he talk to me? And so at this point, we just see again, like, he's heard third-hand, you know, the women's story about somebody, about seeing Jesus. We see, you know, Peter's interaction. But he's got to have a personal interaction, a personal connection with the Lord. So we continue to read in verse 26. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe, for crying out loud. What do you want me to do here? Like, I'm here. I've got wounds. I've walked through walls. I'm feeding you. Like, how much do you need to see? Why are you still doubting?" And I believe with all of my heart that I was the same way. I don't know about you, but I was wondering, and there was doubts and fears about Jesus. But I needed to experience him and encounter him personally myself. You know, I was alone by myself in my bedroom. It wasn't a conference. It wasn't even a church service, but I connected with Jesus. Thomas has the same thing. Isn't it cool that Jesus even knew what he was thinking about? Because sometimes we come to God and we think, oh, God doesn't understand me. God doesn't know what I'm thinking about. Are you kidding me? God already knows your thoughts. He already knows what you need. He knew that he needed to have Thomas touch his hand for him to believe. I know that Thomas is doubting, but we are like Thomas. We have doubts. But we can trust that God is alive. He'll meet with us. He'll speak to us. He'll answer all of our questions. Even though sometimes I think back to when I didn't believe. I was like, I know it's true, but it's not real for me. I don't want to believe it. I want to live my own way. And then at some point I interact with Jesus, and the stubborn me, the independent me, the I'll figure it out on my own me was just broken to splinters. And I knew that I had met with Jesus, and that's all I needed to know. Because Thomas had an experience with Jesus. And then, again, your vocabulary changes. You're thinking, just a few verses ago, remember Thomas is saying, like, well, you know, nice story, but I don't know Jesus. In verse 28, here it goes. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My personal Lord and my personal God after that experience. He wasn't talking that way prior to that. But when he met with Jesus, all of a sudden his vocabulary changed. Isn't that a great thought? Wow. Let's look at Nathanael, one last character in the Bible here. So Nathanael's interaction with Jesus. Again, we got to pick up a story. We're in the book of John. Let's stay there. Let's just go back to John chapter, the very first book of John, John chapter 1. And we see this interaction that Nathanael has with Jesus. And it is like outstanding. I hadn't read this in a while. I was like, whoa, that's powerful. So in verse 45, we see here, Jesus is just at the beginning of his ministry. He's picking disciples, and he picks Nathanael. And this is the interaction that Jesus has with Nathanael for the very first time. He's obviously not dead and risen again, but Jesus is alive, and he's working on his ministry. But here's his interaction with him. Philip, a very good friend of Nathanael's, found him and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about the prophets also that had written about him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth, this is Nathanael's response, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked, "Come and see," said Philip. So many times we have family or friends that tell us about something good. And so many times we're like, okay, I don't know if I can trust that story fully. You know, he's a close friend, he's a family member, I do trust them, but I need to just... show me. Have you ever done that? Like, show me on your phone. Show me the picture of it. You know, like, I believe what you're saying, but just help me to visualize or help me to explain what I'm seeing here. And we see the same thing with Nathanael. He's questioning his friend Philip. Like, I don't know if this is the real Jesus. Like, he came from Nazareth. Like, I got questions about that. I have doubts about what you're saying. And here's how it continues in verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false, or some other versions would say, and has no deceit in him. You finally meet with Jesus for the very first time and he looks at you. What does he say? What do you think he would say? Put your own mind at work for a second. What do you think Jesus would say the first time he sees you? You start feeling like, here's my list of guilt. I feel terrible. I feel like I'm worthless. I am so sorry. These are the kind of things that we put on ourselves. But when Jesus looks at us, he sees something valuable. He sees a trait in us that he wants to fuel in us. Isn't that just a great thing? Just tear us down and step on us. Like, you're the reason why I had to go to the cross, you crazy people. The reason I have to leave heaven, which is perfect, and come down here just to be with you. No, that's not what Jesus says, right? He sees the qualities in us. The things that God deposited in you that he wants to use for his good news, for the good news of the cross. So here we go. There's no false, there's no deceit. That's a powerful statement over Nathanael. Verse 48, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree with Philip, before Philip called you. I saw you. Way before you even came. I don't know when your salvation was. Way before you even thinking about it. Jesus saw you. And he had a plan and a purpose for you. Whatever you choose, Jesus sees you. And he's calling you out. He's calling you up. Isn't that just wonderful thinking? Then we see Nathanael's interaction with Jesus, a living God. Watch his vocabulary change again. We saw just a minute ago, Nazareth, how can anything good come from there? He's questioning about Jesus. Now watch his terminology. This is just verses later. This is just a couple verses. You don't have to have some kind of theological diploma or something. Oh, we got to go to the Old Testament, figure it out. It's right there for you. When you read it, you'll see it. Verse 49, then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, some interpretations, teacher, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Boom, just like that. An experience changed him from the inside out. Poof. Wow, isn't that exciting? Rabbi or teacher, he hadn't had any time to teach him. They had like seconds together. And all of a sudden, he's calling him, you're my teacher. Well, he hadn't taught him very much. He just taught him like, hey, I see a quality in you. Sometimes that's all we need to hear. One word from Jesus. The rest changes right from the inside out. Jesus is speaking. The only way I find or I would suggest that, you know, we say a prayer, we read the Bible, and then we start having experiences with God. We start interacting with the living Jesus. And Nathanael never, never walked away. He never, never forgot after that. I don't know how intimate and relational or how you connect with God. I don't know what that actually looks like for you. But I pray that it would be an experience that you just constantly are looking forward to so that you can look back and go, look how faithful God is. Look how trustworthy God is. And so this morning, I just want to close with just a quick thought with you. And then we'll sing one more time together is that when I stand up here, I'm going to elaborate on this in 2 weeks. So next week, Pastor Ben speaking, that's going to be awesome. That I'm going to speak, and then it's our regroup. We got all the people from our district office coming, and Ken Russell's going to come and speak. So we got a power-packed April. But in a couple weeks, I'm going to preach, and I'll share more about this. But I was talking to my mother, which a lot of us don't understand. That it's been a tough relationship, and we were just chatting about some things. And I said, "Hey, I'm on my journey. I've got a licensed minister. I'm about to be ordained, and then at some point, and you can celebrate this later." You don't even have to call me pastor. You can call me the Reverend Mr. Robert Young because I've, accomplished all the things. So, you know me. I don't need titles and pieces of paper, but that's just the truth of it. But what you don't know, and my mom would know because she raised me, is that, in grade 2 or 3, I honestly couldn't read or write. I got up in front of the class. I would get so nervous, kids would laugh at me. My mom really helped me through high school. My wife helped me through correspondence studies a little bit. But there was times when I get so nervous reading in front of people because there was some kind of disconnection up here. But when I met with Jesus, Jesus actually healed that in me. There is no way I should be standing here. There's no way I should be any kind of, I don't want to say normal because I don't like normal. I'm crazy, and you all know that. Let's be honest. But there's no way I should be able to even do any of this without Jesus. And so when I had that experience and I look back on that, I'm reminded of like, I can't shake that. I can never walk away from that. That was real. It was genuine. It was an experience. It was an encounter that I can't shake. And I'll never forget. I pray that you walk away from here as well. You know, we talk about a prayer. You need to confess that Jesus is Lord. You need to ask for forgiveness of your sins. You need to invite Jesus into your heart. We need to do that. Then we give you, I don't have the Bibles here today. They're over there at the corner. Usually we have Bibles up here. We just want to give you the word of God. But again, like a fresh pair of socks and a movie ticket, you don't just take it home and just put it away. You actually take it home and you experience it because it's alive. Because Jesus came back from the dead. He is alive and we celebrate him and he's alive. This Bible is alive to us. So you get to take that home and experience him day after day after day away from us. You're 6 days we don't see each other. Some of us, we see each other every day. But, you know, for 6 days we don't come back again till, but it's alive. You want to experience that every day, don't you? We need that. I mean, if there's ever a time in history, it's always been crazy in history. But we do need Jesus more than ever, every day. Man, I pray that that would connect with you in Jesus' name. Let's close our eyes. Let's just commit this time to the Lord again. So, Father, this morning, Lord, I thank you that the people that we read about, they just feel like real people that I can relate to and understand because I have the same doubts and the same questions about you and I have the same distrust as they did. They wanted to experience you for themselves. And so, God, I pray in Jesus' name that each one of us has experienced you for ourselves this morning in a real and tangible way. And, Father, I pray that as we leave here today, that we would not leave here empty, not leave here alone, but we would leave here with you living inside of us. And so thank you, Lord, that you said that it is better, it is good that I go back to heaven and be at the right hand of the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. I pray that each one of us would personally invite you. You know, it's like you raise up your hand. Who would like the Holy Spirit? Like you just raise your hand. I would like the Holy Spirit. And God would just speak to you. He would see that and you would receive the Holy Spirit so that you would experience him, a true and living and intimate and personal God. So thank you for that. God, we can't do this on our own. We're crying out to you, God. We are broken, we are messed up, and we need a Savior. And so thank you for saving us. Thank you for coming and living and dwelling inside of us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.